Everybody, welcome back to the Off the Cliff Show, brought to you by 14th and Market Podcast Network. Y'all already know what to do. Before we get into the show, what I need y'all to do is click the subscribe button down below. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I need you to click the follow button and also hit the subscribe button. It supports me. It's free. Y'all been showing a lot of love on the YouTube, a lot of love on podcasts. We just reached 100 subscribers on YouTube. So I want to thank everybody for that. Whoever's listening, whoever's watching, I truly appreciate it. Gotta make sure I'm in the mic, but I truly appreciate it. 100 subscribers, that is a big deal in such a short time. Trying to reach for 200 subscribers possibly by the end of the month. We'll see how this goes. Also, follow the channels on Instagram, Twitter, all that. The link will be in the description for all social platforms, for all types of content, all updates. I know I'll be tweeting crazy, so yeah, go make sure y'all click those links, hit the subscribe button on everything that you're watching. Today, of course, big news. We're going to get into Joel Embiid coming back last night from his meniscus tear. Really strange how the Sixers announced he was coming back. Also, we'll talk about the game, what the Sixers can do to integrate Joel faster. Will he get into a rhythm in time? We'll also talk about Kelly Oubre. Tyrese Maxey was out, and what the team will look like fully healthy with Joel back, and how they're going to, I think, struggle a little bit trying to integrate him back in. But yeah, man, without further ado, here's the intro. All right, man, look, we're just going to get straight into it. Sixers beat the Thunder last night, 109-105. Biggest news, Joel came back. I'm hyped. My dog is back. It feels like we've been watching the process Sixers for almost 2 months without him, bro. It started to feel like he was never coming back. We all felt like today was going to be that. Why am I feeling my desk shaking? Oh, my God. But we all felt like today was going to be the day. But the Sixers ruled him out like immediately after Woj and Shams tweeted out that he could return this week and possibly Tuesday. But the Sixers like immediately put out like they ruled him out for Tuesday. Then 1 o'clock ruled him out again. That 1 o'clock Tuesday they ruled him out again at 1. Then at 5 he was ruled out again, and then 5:30 he was still ruled out, and then 5:35. Botemps and Woj tweeted out that he was listed as questionable, and it was weird. We're like, wait, so he playing now? But yeah, so everybody got hyped, like the lines moved, but it was weird because all day you felt like he was playing, but like the Sixers just keep, they just gotta be a weird team all the time instead of just like listening questionable from the start. I've been listening to a couple of podcasts, and a lot of people are saying this is going on through three different management cycles of Joel's career. So like the podcast that I was listening to was basically saying like, this is Joel doing weird stuff like this, like ruling himself out, or like not telling the team. And then weird, like he's just dramatic. All right. He's just dramatic. But yeah, man, he came back last night, looked good. I don't want to say looked great, because obviously great is MVP level Joel, but for somebody coming off of meniscus surgery, I guess he looked good, man. He had, oh my God, I had the stats. Oh yeah, man. He had 24, 6, and 7. He did look a little bit rusty coming back. You could tell he just didn't want to try to implement himself like as the focal point coming directly back. He like in the first quarter, he had some like wild passes trying to be flashy, get his teammates involved. And it's like, Joel, I couldn't even get mad because like he was doing that at the beginning of the season. But like, these were like some wild, Kelly Oubre was cut and he tried to throw it like behind the defender. And I'm like, Joel, what? But yeah, man, he was rusty a little bit. Tried to get his mid range going, not really banging down low like he was when he was before the injury, but it's okay. It's not concerning. Just because like, he's probably just trying to get into a rhythm, trying to get conditioned. And that's fine. Like I said, his mid range looked good. He was great on defense as always. So like I said, the Sixers are trying to integrate him back into the offense. So they did look a little bit clunky because there were three players out there that have never played with Joel. So Kyle Lowry, Buddy Hield, Campaign, just trying to figure out their spots. And, you know, even players that were playing with him in the beginning of the season, like Kelly Oubre, Nick Batum, who else? I forget who else was on the team. But yeah, they're just trying to remember their way of playing with Joel and like, okay, where are we supposed to be? They're ramping up for playoffs. So I'm pretty sure they're implementing new things. They're like, okay, all right, in this situation, where are we going to be here? Where are we going to be here? How do I feed off Joel? Like, Kyle Lowry and Joel immediately had like chemistry, you could tell. And that's from Kyle Lowry to being a veteran point guard and playing with so many big men in his career, kind of knew where to get Joel the ball in his spots. They had a really good chemistry going there. So that was really, really dope to see. But yeah, just trying to figure out where everybody's supposed to be with Joel on the court, what they're supposed to be doing. Like, should I be spotting up? Should I cut? Weird things like that. They're just trying to figure out with the three new players and also some returning players, having to switch their entire style of playing that they've been playing for the past 2 months now to playing back with Joel, like at a little bit of a slower pace, instead of just a lot of people just taking threes, chucking shots, and then really focused in on defense. So wasn't really concerned about that. Like I said, Joel, great on defense last night, even had the game winning steal on Josh Giddey, who sucks. But had the game winning steal on Josh Giddey, takes the ball coast to coast, draws the foul on Chet, is obviously tired as hell because he's playing. I think he played 29, 30 minutes last night, but he's like visibly tired at the free throw line. Like when he got fouled, he fell. He just laid on the floor for like 30 seconds, then got up, got the free throw line, bent over, just tired, exhausted, but knocked down both free throws. Which was dope to see. Even after the game, he said, like, I forgot who the reporter was, but they asked him, they're like, how do you feel? He was like, not good. And I don't think that's anything with the knee or anything. He did have a big brace on, but I don't think that's anything with the knee he was talking about. I think he's just talking about like conditioning. Really cool quote that came out from Nick. Well, not cool, but like, it's a good sign. Nick Nurse said, he said he wouldn't be surprised if Joel's like back to form in about 2 or 3 games, because like he said, he's never seen somebody be able to condition and get back to form so quickly. So he said Joel should be fine in about 2 or 3 games and like fully ready to go. So that'll be dope. Hopefully getting Joel the healthiest that he's ever been going into the playoffs. Well, the play-in, see if they can win that game and then first round of the playoffs. Other parts of the game last night I want to talk about. Obviously, Maxey was out. But, yeah, so I've been talking about it a lot on the pod or on the show for a while now. They just look lost on defense against the number one three-point shooting team in the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the Sixers just too many times look lost on defense. And it's concerning because, like, they have their nights where they're really locked in, and then they have nights like this where you could tell they're just not putting forth the effort. A lot of time, this was a prime key game of just watching them get lost continuously off ball or just not showing the effort to get around screens. So most of the Thunder's points just came off players running off multiple screens and then the Sixers defenders just refusing to really fight over it. They would die on the screen. Like once they would hit the screener, they were just like, all right, well, he's got an open three. It was a couple times where campaign really looked bad this game. Like they just attacked him on defense off ball and just whoever campaign was guarding just ran him off like 2 or 3 screens. Cam would eventually get lost or just not fight over the screens and it'll lead to a wide open three or a wide open jumper, wide open back cut. Like it was so many times where I was just getting frustrated. It was a really bad defensive campaign game, but you know, good offensive game like he's going to have. But it's just really concerning when, like I said, they just have nights where they're just like, all right, well, we're not playing defense tonight. And it's just like, if you just lock in, there are times where this game could have been taken over by the Sixers and they just refuse to just play defense or fight or get over screens. And there's times where I get it. You want to take breaks and you do have Joel back. And you're like, all right, well, I could just funnel everything to him. But there are times in the game where you could tell the Sixers tried to go on a run or they would get like a key stop and like they would, which could ignite a run. And then they would just not care on defense and the Thunder would just come down and hit a three. And it's so annoying because it's like, sometimes you just have to, as a basketball player, right? You have to notice and have the basketball IQ to notice the momentum swings in a game. So say if the Sixers are down two, they hit two buckets, now they're up. I mean, they hit two shots, now they're up two. You can see, like, all right, they're starting to gain momentum. Thunder are running multiple screens. If you just fight and use all of your energy to get around the screens, contest the shot, run them off the three-point line, funnel them into Joel like you want to, then that could be, all right, now we get a stop. We get two stops here. Now we go down. We score twice. Now we're up six. And it's a completely different game. Well, not completely different, but it's a different game. Now we have all the momentum. We're in it. We're home. We have Joel back. We can really, the crowd can really get into it. This, we could blow the game open, especially versus the Thunder team without Shea and Jalen Williams. So it's just times where they have to notice to really lock in on defense and be like, all right, let's lock in for this next 5 minutes. Let's get 4 to 5 stops here. See if we can get the lead to about 8, 10, 12 and really take over the game. And then we can feed Joel, really figure out what we're doing on offense, and then kind of coast there instead of just having this be a close game all the way down the stretch. Nick Nurse said he wanted Joel to play 24, 25 minutes, ended up playing 30, which I'm okay with. I'm a big, if you come back from injury, like you should be full throttle, able to go, unless like it's a tired thing. Like you probably been conditioning and practice. So there's not going to be a difference of stress on the body or whatever hurts from game to practice. It's just going to be probably a little bit more physical, but I don't think that's anything of like a minutes restriction will help. So him going 30 minutes, I'm okay with that. I thought they were just going to be a hard stop because we've seen in Joel's career, when he comes back from injury, they really are like hard stop on the minutes restriction as soon as he comes back, just to get his conditioning back and to make sure he doesn't get hurt. But it's time to take the kid gloves off. We don't have a lot of time. Full throttle. Come back. If you're okay to go and you've been ramping up this entire time, then you should be okay to play your full minutes in a game. I don't see what a minutes restriction does. I don't know how it helps because you've been putting the same stress on it in practice. So you should be fine. Unless you are tired, then you're like, all right, well, now I need to come out. That's when the minutes should be, all right, we're just going to reduce it for that reason. And that's an in-game situation thing because a lot of last night, you could see Joel like waving off Paul Reed to come into the game because he wanted to stay in. So, yeah, other than that, looked great. Another player that I want to talk about, Kelly Oubre. He needs a lifetime contract. I'm cool with signing him for the rest of his career, tie him with Joel, but he is the player that you need, especially when you have a player that sucks like Tobias Harris. Kelly Oubre, bad first quarter, right? Bad first quarter and possibly bad first half. But came out second half I think it was in that fourth quarter. You could see like the Sixers kind of slowly slipping away. I think the Thunder got the lead up to about 10. Kelly Oubre comes down. He hits three threes. They cut the lead. He gives the Sixers momentum, gives them life. He's playing defense. It's just a player that you need, a scrappy player that's just going to chuck up shots. And you're like, all right, he's basically a spark plug. He's just somebody that you need, especially with Joel. He looked great last night down the stretch of the game, figuring out the pick and roll with Joel. And it's really interesting that they did that with Kelly and not Joel. I mean, and not Tobias. So that's something that we can look forward to in the playoffs. If Kelly can be that playmaker to Joel and also implement, you know, using his scoring ability and if Kelly could also be a threat scoring in the pick and roll with Joel and then them figuring that out, that just gives another chess move for Nick Nurse to use. And then Maxie's now off ball. Now you can figure out, you can do some really creative things on offense. It'll be great. Also think it was a really good Nick Nurse game as well. They had an out-of-bounds play, I think, when the Sixers needed. I think that tied the game up or it took the lead. They had an out-of-bounds play where they basically used Joel's gravity for him to post up on the block and they used Kelly to come around on a curl. And then Kyle Lowry gives him under the basket. Kelly, of course, goes up, dunks it, and won. Sixers go up 2 or 3. I got to remember the point in the game. Might have tied it, but really got out-of-bounds play. And it goes to show you what I've been saying on previous shows and previous pods that – using like Joel, his gravity is just going to open up so much for everybody on the floor. Like Kelly was wide open on that pass from Kyle Lowry under the basket. And a lot of players are wide open tonight. You can see Nick Batum kind of got back into a rhythm. Kyle Lowry looked good. Campaign looked good. You could just see all players. They're just like, all right, well, we're just way more open than we were this for 2 months. And now the basket just looks so much wider. Now we just rely on Joel to even if he's not scoring his regular 35, like I said tonight, 24, 6, 7 assists. Even if he's not scoring his regular 35, the gravity of him and the player that he is going to create so many open looks for everyone else. And I can't wait for Tyrese Maxey to come back, because it's going to look like the world has opened up to him since he has been dealing with so many double teams for the past 2 months, and traps, and just defense is focused on him. Now the defense has focused on Joel. Then their focus has to go to Maxey. He's as the second option. But Kelly as a third option, great. Kelly Oubre, 25-6 last night. Really buckets that you needed. That's probably going to drop down to about 17-18 with Tyrese Maxey coming back. I really do like that they're switching from, you can see like the slow, okay, where Kelly's going to be that third option now instead of Tobias. Tobias, get your 10, 12, 14, whatever, just off of like wide open three. Even Tobias, he hit 5 threes last night. I just want to double check that. Tobias Harris. Yeah, 5 of 8 from three, because he was wide open on most of them just because of Joel. So he might go back to being regular Tobias, like whatever. I don't really have a lot of thoughts on Tobias anymore. Like I've told y'all plenty of times. But just him slowly going back to the, like, now you're going to be the fourth option. You're going to be behind Maxey. You're going to be behind Oubre. And we just need you to hit down. I mean, we just need you to knock down, spot up open threes. And then occasionally, I guess, if you get the ball in the post, work from there. But really, really like that they're the way that they, I saw them integrate Joel using his gravity just to get him back in rhythm, because when he is back in rhythm and they get into the play-in and they have to play possibly like the Miami Heat, they're going to look unstoppable. And that's all because of Joel and the player that he is. Like I said, if he can get back to the 30 and 10, the 35 and 10 that he was averaging before the season was over, the Sixers could seriously make a run. Do I want them to play Boston? I don't care who they play in the first round. So I was listening to a podcast earlier. Shout out to Mike Levin. He's been saying that like the Sixers haven't beat a good team in the playoffs yet. It's like they beat like the Nets. They'll beat like the Heat without Jimmy that was like Josh Richardson. I think they beat the Nets twice. Like they beat the Raptors, like teams that aren't good in the first round. And then they end up, like we all know, losing the second round. So like, I'm fine with them playing a Boston or Milwaukee in the first round, because you're going to have to play them eventually. And it's just a mental hurdle. I just need them to get over. And I need to see a healthy Joel Embiid in the playoffs versus one of the good teams, because now you really get all right, is he really a playoff choker or has he just been hurt? So I just need 100% Embiid going into the playoffs versus one of the upper echelon teams. I don't think Boston is fraudulent. I do think they are beatable in a 7-game series, because they have these like weird mental lapses where they just don't know what they're doing on offense. And if they're like step back threes and that's not working, they get really like out of the game. As opposed to Milwaukee, who has Giannis, which we all know how referee that guy. But if when they go into playoffs, I just need them to beat a good team, okay? And that's all I want. Get over the mental hurdle. If they can beat one of Boston or Milwaukee in the first round, depending on how Joel is, making sure the Sixers are fully healthy, maybe they get Melton back, Cove comes back. If they do get over that mental hurdle, the Sixers are going to the NBA Finals. You heard it here first. I don't care. That's all they need to get over is the mental. When you finally beat a team that you've been struggling with in the playoffs for multiple years, you're like, all right, well, we beat y'all. We wiping everybody else now, because you're like, all right, now y'all really can't stop me. If Joel figures it out in the playoffs and he can average 30, 32, 35 in the playoffs, it's over. And that's all we need. We just need a little run. That's all we need, a little run. But yeah, man, really exciting game last night. So happy Joel is back. Sixers basketball is enjoyable again. I am still this is Maxey's season. Hopefully he makes an all-NBA team. I don't think he will. But yeah, man, Sixers basketball is enjoyable. It's meaningful. I can finally watch the games with some purpose. Like, okay, we can go in. Let me see what they currently are. I think they're pretty much, at this point, I think they're pretty much locked in to the 8th seed unless they like win out. They're 2 games back of Miami for the 7th seed, and 2 games back from Indiana for the 6th seed. Did Indiana play last? Miami won last night. Miami beat the Knicks last night. Indiana plays. They don't play tonight. Did they play last night? Indiana. I don't know when. Do they play Friday? Oh, Indiana plays the Thunder Friday. Indiana could easily move out of that 6 seed, or Miami could move up. I think the Sixers, if they play, I know I've really lost the Sixers schedule here. Does Joel sit any of these games? Is it like a good question? Like coming down a stretch, probably depending on seeding and everything, but he really has to get back into a rhythm. Okay, so they have the Heat. The Sixers got the Heat tomorrow. Depending on, they could get the 6 seed. Okay. All right, we're going to go through it. If they beat the Heat, right, that will put them 1 game behind the Heat, depending on how the Pacers deal with the Thunder. The Thunder could beat the Pacers because the Thunder are the number one team in the West. They have the Grizzlies, Spurs, Pistons, Magic, Nets. The Sixers could easily win out and possibly get the 6 seed, depending on the Pacers schedule. Let me see the Pacers schedule. Pacers schedule. All right. So, okay. Pacers got the, the Pacers played, they played the Nets today. All right, so Pacers played the Nets, Thunder, Heat, Raptors, Cavs, Hawks. The Pacers could drop out of the 6 seed. And let's look at the Heat schedule. Miami Heat schedule. Of course, they play us. Then they play the Rockets, Pacers, Hawks, Mavs, Raptors. All right. So it's going to be tough to jump Miami. But if the Sixers went out, they can do it. So they could possibly get the 6 seed, depending on if Joel sits any of these games just for like rest and management of the knee purposes. But we'll see, man. I'm excited. So happy Joel is back. That's my dog. We'll see if the Sixers can make a push here. Again, appreciate everybody for watching the channel. Make sure y'all subscribe. Thank you for all the support. 100 subscribers. Tell a friend to tell a friend. When you see a video, all you got to do is watch for like 10 seconds, like the video, even share it. Do whatever you got to do. But make sure y'all support and follow the Instagram. We're out. Joel will play the Miami Heat on Thursday, and that's a possible play-in matchup. So we'll see how he fares. Appreciate y'all.